Our theme this year for the year is Vision 2020. You can see the year there, seeing with God's eyes. And you're going to see that a lot because that's going to have a lot to do with a bunch of different stuff that we're doing here. That'll affect our preaching theme. Lots of different ideas will rotate around. Lots of different activities will center on seeing as God sees. That's really the essence of godliness. Take off the lenses that the world puts on us, the values and idea and agenda of this world, and see things as God sees them. And a big part of that is our reading plan for this year. Our reading plan this year is to read in the Old Testament's wisdom literature. If we're going to see as God sees, we need to see the right way to live and how to navigate life despite its difficulties. That's found in the wisdom literature. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Those books teach us how to live life under the sun right here, right now. Those books assist us in understanding what God wants us to do and how God wants us to do today, right now, right here. Unfortunately, sometimes we may find it difficult, though, to stay with a reading plan like that. I want you to focus on the text again, verse 10, Ezra 7. Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. As we work through and think about our Bible reading in a new year this morning, what we're looking for is to do it Ezra's way. We want to be like Ezra 7 and 10. And in order to do that, we're going to need to work on establishing a better habit. Ezra 7 and 10 is a habit. It is regular, consistent, habitual. It's a habit. And the reality is that if you're going to make life change, particularly a difficult life change like reading your Bible regularly, you got to change your habits. But that's not easy to do, is it? You know, one of the other big resolutions being made this time of year is what? Gonna go to the gym and work out. Gonna eat right and exercise more. The average fitness center, the average gym, signs up 6,500 people a year. But they don't all come to the gym at the same time, do they? See, the gyms are counting on people not building the habit. Because if all 6,500 of us show up at 24-hour fitness at the same time, it's going to be really, really crowded. What do they know? They know the first week of January, there's going to be a lot of people in the gym. But they also know that the second week in January, there's not going to be nearly as many people in the gym. And the third week in January, who's going to be at the fitness center? Just the hardcore folks. The people who have made working out a habit. Can you do that with daily Bible reading? Could we make Bible reading part of our lives? Build that habit. That's where we are right now this morning. I'm going to give you three huge keys to building the habit of daily Bible reading. We're going to look right at Ezra 7 and 10. We're going to be that. We're going to do that. And here's how we're going to do that. That's going to start this morning by making certain that we understand the why. You can't build habits if you're not motivated, because this is significant. This is important. I got to do this. So if you're looking at Ezra 7 and 10, and I certainly hope by now you are, Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Do you see what Ezra is about? Ezra is about personal change so that he can assist others in serving God, in making the changes necessary in their life so they'll be what God wants them to be. Ezra is about increasing his depth of relationship with God so that he can help others love God, serve God, know God, and obey God. Ezra 7 and 10 is telling us that Ezra had a heart for that. That was significant to him. That was important to him. I'm afraid the trouble sometimes when we start talking about daily Bible reading is we're not in Ezra 7 and 10. The question that we have a tendency to focus on and to ask the most is, do I have to do this to go to heaven? Or maybe we're asking the flip side of that question. If I don't do this, am I going to go to hell? When we start asking those kinds of questions, what that does is make Christianity into a ticket. I need a ticket to go to heaven. And I need to get my ticket punched so that I can get to heaven. So the question is, hey, preacher, are you telling me daily Bible reading is essential to get my ticket punched? By the way, that's not just how people treat daily Bible reading. People treat a lot of things in Christianity that way. That's church attendance for some people, isn't it? That's why you have people who show up on Sunday who don't live anything like Christians during the week. Hey, don't bother me about what I did from Monday to Saturday. I was there Sunday, got my ticket punched. That's why you have people who show up only very occasionally, maybe monthly or semi-annually, because they've decided what? That's all it takes to get the punch. I was there. So when a preacher starts talking about daily Bible reading, what some people are thinking is, oh no. Another thing I gotta do to get my ticket punched. But if you're thinking that way, then Bible reading is never going to be a consistent part of your life. It's never going to be a consistent part of your walk with God. This ticket thought, this model of Christianity that says I'm punching my ticket into heaven, has so many problems with it. For example, we're always negotiating down what it takes to get it punched. But maybe the major problem with the ticket punch model of Christianity is the Bible doesn't teach it. That's not biblical Christianity. You want to see biblical Christianity? Try Matthew chapter 22 with me. In Matthew, this 22nd chapter, Jesus is asked, what is the first commandment? What's the mostest important thing? Jesus says in Matthew 22, 36, teacher, what is the great commandment? In verse 37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. That's why we're reading our Bible. Because we love God. Because we want to be in a relationship with God. Because we want to know God. I would never ask, do I have to speak to Dina every day or she will divorce me? That's the wrong question. We would never say, dads, do I have to play with my kids every day? Or CPS is going to come and take them? See, those questions are absurd. They don't work. That isn't how relationships operate. The goal of my relationship with my wife is not to keep her from divorcing me. My goal is that we would have a great and satisfied and wonderful marriage together. The goal as a dad with your kids is not to keep CPS from knocking on your front door. The goal is to know your kids and love your kids. The goal here is to know and love God. That's what we're about. That's why we're reading our Bibles. That's what we need to be focused on and fixated on. In Jeremiah, please, can I have Jeremiah 9? In Jeremiah 9, can I have Jeremiah 9, verse 23? I love this passage. The prophet here speaks for God, and he tells the people, this is what God wants. This is what matters. This is what's important. This is Jeremiah 9. I'm reading verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Jeremiah 9, 24. Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in this earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. You know, as soon as you start thinking about loving God and being in a relationship with God, Bible reading's a no-brainer. It's a must. Gotta do that so that I can come to know God and who He is and what He's about and how caring and wonderful He is so that I will love Him. But when we get this ticket thing going, tickets always look for the minimum. What's the least I can do and still get there? You know, one of the highlights of 2019 for Dean and I was we got a grandson. And I'm trying to build a relationship with Maddox. I never ask, do I have to hold Maddox? What I ask is, Dina, isn't it my turn to hold Maddox? I want to hold him. I want to be with him. I'm going to tell you now, if he waves at me, we're done. We'll just sing the invitation song. I'll never be able to continue. It's all about being with him, loving him, getting to know him, building that relationship. That's what Bible reading's about. Knowing the Lord. The bottom line is, oftentimes the reason we're not reading the Bible is because we just don't think it matters. It's not that important. We don't think we're going to go to hell if we don't do daily Bible reading. So we get in this mindset where we're going to just do the bare minimum, as little as we possibly can, and we're going to slide in under the pearly gates at the last possible moment. You need to know. If that is your conception of Christianity, I can't help you. If that's your conception of Christianity, the Bible can't help you. Because that's not what this is about. The Bible never says, hey, don't worry about knowing God and building a relationship with Him. Just get your ticket punched by doing religious chores. The reason we're building the habit is because we're passionate about developing our relationship with God. We want to know Him. We want to be new creatures in Christ, Ephesians 4:21. We want Christ to live in us, Galatians 2 and verse 20. We want to renew our minds, Romans 12 and 2. We want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Does that describe you? Is that what's pushing you? Then you can go get this habit. Now, I spent the most of my time right there because if we don't get that right, the rest doesn't matter. We've got to be operating from the desire to know God. Once we have that in place, we need to ask a really hard question. We need to ask a really, really hard question. What am I willing to give up to read my Bible every day? You know, there are a lot of lies in our world today. Go home, watch ball games this afternoon, cut TV on. Going to be a lot of commercials lying to you. Buy this product. Buy this car. Brush your teeth with this and you'll be successful and you'll be pretty and you'll be liked. Buy this and get all of these benefits. Get on the internet. There's lots of conspiracy theories of every flavor and stripe. Lies about everything. Our politicians sometimes. You know this? Sometimes they stretch the truth a little bit. There's a lot of lies in this world. My favorite lie, your cat loves you. Lots of lies in this world. What's the biggest lie that we are told? The biggest lie that we are told is you can have it all. That lies everywhere. You can lose weight without dieting. You can get ahead without working hard. You can become a star without being particularly good at anything except, I guess, looking famous. You can earn big returns on your investment without any risk. Those lies sell scams and Ponzi schemes and infomercial exercise equipment that gathers dust in the bottom of our closet. Those lies end up causing us to be disappointed and jaded. But the real problem is that we allowed ourselves to be deceived by those lies because we wanted to believe it. We want to believe that we can have it all, that we can have everything without compromise, that we can have and do and be everything without having to give anything up. It's not so. In Ephesians 5, the passage I need is from the writings of Paul to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, let's try a little bit of Ephesians 5. I need verse 15 here, please. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. That verse wouldn't have to be in the Bible. Excuse me. That verse wouldn't have to be in the Bible if you, in fact, really could have it all. We wouldn't have to be careful or walk wise or redeem the time. You just blunder around and you'd still be okay. But you can't. Life is a series of trade-offs. Life is a series of decisions. A trade-off means we choose this, and that means we lose that. I'm going to do this, not that. So I choose to go to the gym and work out, which means I'm not going to binge watch a movie on Netflix. I choose to go to the movie, which means I'm not going to watch the ball game. Life is a trade-off. We don't like that. We want to believe we really can do it all. And sometimes we try to do that. So I'm going to go to the movie. I'm going to watch the game a little bit down here on my phone. I'm going to work at home and kind of sort of play with my kids because I need to spend some time with them. I'm going to have coffee with you to build my relationship with you. But the whole time that we're talking, I'm also looking at my Insta feed to see what else is going on everywhere else. It doesn't work, does it? We don't want to miss out on anything, so we try to do everything, and the end result is sometimes we don't do anything well. Yeah, there's some things to be said about multitasking. There are some things where you can do two things at once. I get at that. I understand about that. And sometimes we could just stuff more in, work smarter, not harder. I get it. I understand that. But in the end, when we try to do everything, mostly what that results in, we do a lot of things very poorly. In Philippians, Paul notes in Philippians 4 that disciples are about what? In verse 4, in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4, brothers, Philippians 4 verse 8, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. It's hard to be excellent when you're doing 100,000 things all at the same time. That's a great way to be mediocre. By the way, can I say something to my sisters in Christ? Moms are super susceptible to this thinking because social media regularly shows people, women, who apparently are doing everything without any compromise. They aren't making any trade-offs. They're growing their own crops and schooling their kids at home and making their own clothes and maintaining a perfectly stylish home as they operate their successful online consulting business and their great wives too. And we click and we see that stuff and we believe it. Oh, look, she has it all. I want to be like her. Social media lies to us that there are no trade-offs, no compromises. There are. Nobody has it all. Nobody's doing it all. And when it comes to time, everybody has the same amount. So when you decide to add something new to your life, daily Bible reading, something's got to go. Something's got to go. That's why the hard question is, what am I willing to give up? The most important decision that we can make with daily Bible reading is why we do it. That's point one. But the second point is, what am I willing to give up so I read my Bible this year? Building a habit means we do something regularly and consistently. So what's going to go so that I can do this regularly and consistently? Does it mean I'm not going to check and scroll my Facebook feed during my lunch hour? Because instead I'm going to be in the Word. Does it mean I'm going to get up 30 minutes earlier so I can be in the Word? I'm going to bump some sleep time. Does it mean instead of watching the evening news, I'm going to read my Bible? What am I giving up? As soon as you say, I'm not going to do that so I can read my Bible, then you know you're serious. Then you know this is what you're about. That Ezra 7 and 10 passage clearly says that Ezra determined. He set his heart. Ezra didn't do everything about everything. But he did do one thing. He gave up so that he could set his heart to study the law and know God. That's walking wisely. That's being careful in our choices. Which brings me to the third important part of building a habit, and that is, got to be ready to fail. Got to be ready to fail. How many people, last year we read the New Testament, 5 days a week, chapter a day. How many people read every week, 5 times a week, all 52 weeks? You read Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every time, without fail, never missed. Raise your hand so we can hate you now. No, raise your hand. Nobody made it like that. Okay, maybe somebody did. And if you did, we salute you, your perseverance and your endurance. But that isn't how it works for most of us. Most people miss the day here, there, and yonder. There was that day that the washing machine died, and your kid announced that they needed a major costume for the school pageant tomorrow, and your car had a flat tire. And at the end of that day, you were bushed, exhausted, worn out, and you didn't get to the Bible reading. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. It happened last year. Guess what? It's going to happen this year. Here's your verse. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. There John says, "My little children, I am writing to you," 1 John 2 verse 1, "I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." I love this verse. John is very careful not to let the reality of sin become an excuse. But he does know that's going to happen. So here's what we're going to do when we didn't do what we ought to do. And that's where we need to be on the habit of Bible reading. I don't want to say, get ready to fail, as if that somehow makes it okay. I don't have to take this seriously. I can read my Bible for the first week in January and then shelve it till next year. No, we want to take it seriously. But an essential part of the strategy to build a habit is, what are you going to do when everything goes wrong and at the end of the day, you didn't get it done? We got to think about that. What things are going to get in our way? What's going to pull us off course? And most importantly, how will I bounce back quickly and get back on track? Here it is. Never miss twice. That's what we're going to go for. Never miss twice. When that becomes our mantra, then we avoid the avalanche effect. You know the avalanche effect? One snowflake grabs a buddy, and they grab a few more buddies, and in a moment you got a snowball. And the snowball rolls around collecting friends left and right, and it's picking up speed, and more snow's jumping on board, and next thing you know, you got half the mountain sliding down the hill. That happens to us when we resolve to make changes in our habits. We miss, and then we miss again. You ever done this with dieting? I ate a cookie, which I shouldn't have done, so I might as well eat another cookie, so I ate the whole sleeve. Then I polished off the entire package of Oreos, and since everything had been ruined anyway, I ate a half gallon of Bluebell ice cream in the freezer, so my diet's ruined. I'll quit. See you next year. Think that ever happens to us in Bible reading? Didn't get my Bible read Monday. Felt bad about that Tuesday, but Tuesday was super busy, and then Wednesday the roof caved in on me. By Thursday, I felt so guilty about missing Bible reading, I didn't read that day either. And then Friday was a super busy day, and now it's Monday again. I'm behind a whole week. Oh, forget it. I'll try this next year. We can't let one failure collect up a bunch of failure friends and avalanche us into discouragement and quitting. Do you know what the research says about this? The research says that missing your habit once, no matter when it occurs, has no measurable impact on your long-term progress. Missing here and there isn't going to wreck you. What wrecks you, the research goes on to say, rather than trying to be perfect, abandon your all-or-nothing mentality. That's huge. There's going to be days this year you don't get to it. But the next day, we're right back on it. Never miss twice. You know why we're doing that? Because who is it that whispers in your ear? Well, you didn't do it yesterday. And you're probably not going to get to it today, which means by next week you're just going to quit. You can't do it. You haven't built the habit of Bible reading. You're a failure. You're not reading your Bible. Who's saying that? That's of the devil. That's of the devil, isn't it? Which means what we're talking about here in a very real way is spiritual warfare. Have you thought about that? In Ephesians 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul frames it like this. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, he says in verse 11. In Ephesians 6 and in verse 11, he says there, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. What do you think the devil thinks of our 2020 Bible reading plan? You think the devil wants you to read the Word of God habitually and regularly? Do you think the devil wants you to walk in God's wisdom, to see the world through the eyes of God? What do you think the devil's going to do about that? He's going to put every hindrance and every barrier and every problem he can in your way. And when you miss, he is going to pounce on that, and he is going to pound you. All you miss, you're a failure, you're not going to do it, you'd better quit. Two becomes four, four misses become eight, and the next thing you know, we're discouraged and we quit. We're not quitting. When we miss, we're right back to it. We will not allow a chain of failure to set up that destroys and discourages us, because that plays into the hands of the devil. We are determined. We are committed. We know why we're doing it. We've made plans to do it. We will never miss twice. Didn't get it done yesterday? I'm back on it today. Let me tie all this up and put a bow on it by saying a word or two about what we're reading. We are reading in the wisdom literature. And you can pick up today a wisdom literature reading plan. There's two parts to that. There's this piece, and then there's a piece that goes in the middle that's going to fall out and ride around in the back seat of your car. Make sure you get both of those pieces. We have, some of you are thinking, we've read wisdom literature before as a church, and we have. We did it in 2013. So it's been quite a while since we spent time in God's wisdom literature. In 2013, the reading plan that we read jumped us around. Every day we read in a different book in the wisdom literature. We'd read Psalms, Tuesday Job, so forth and so on. There were some good things about that, but there were some troublesome things about that. We're not going to do it that way this year. We're going to sit down in one of the wisdom books and read in that book for a good while. That doesn't mean we're going to read straight through Psalms or straight through Job. We'll take some breaks and add some of the other wisdom literature in various and appropriate places, but we will be there long enough for you to get plenty comfortable. This reading plan this year is very much read a chapter, move the bookmark ribbon in your Bible. The next day, you're reading the next chapter. Next day, next chapter. Next day, next chapter. The key to this year is going to be this little sheet in the middle. You're going to need a notebook, going to need a pen. Does anybody even know what those are anymore? You're going to need an app. How about that? You're going to need some way to do some writing. Because the trouble with wisdom literature is it's very easy to read and say, wow, that was kind of cool, and just move on. But wisdom literature doesn't do you any good until you soak in it, until you think about it, until you begin to apply it in your life and ingrain it in who you are, so that you will live God's wise way. Remember, Bible reading has to become Bible living. So the questions and the ideas in this center sheet are designed to provoke us to deeper thought, to think about how to put this and install this in our lives. What kind of psalm is this? What's the emotions of the psalm? What's this psalm saying about God? Where am I in this psalm? How about in Proverbs? What here aligns with my life? What in Proverbs is rebuking me and saying I need to change? I'm very excited that when we get to the book of Proverbs, we're only going to read a half a chapter a day. Because when you read 40 Proverbs in a row, what happens? They just kind of leak out your ear. It's hard to wrap your hands around that much material. We're going to cut those chapters in half so that we can consider half a chapter, look through those Proverbs, pick out a proverb. I'm living that. I need that. This is me. I'm writing that down. And all of it, every bit of it, is always going to relate to God. What is God saying? Who is God? How do I know God? How does this help me love God? What's God doing here? Going to see that everywhere, especially in Ecclesiastes, especially in the book of Job, and yes, even in the Song of Solomon. So you're going to need this year a notebook, you're going to need a pen, you're going to need an app, and you're going to need a Bible. You need a green reading schedule, and you need some time. About 15 minutes, because most wisdom chapters are just not that long. Probably need a cup of coffee. I need a cup of coffee when I'm reading the Bible. About 15 minutes to read, to pray. And then to think very carefully and in a very directed way through that day's reading. So that day's reading becomes part of who we are. That is what Ezra did. That's the habit that Ezra built into his life. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. The habitual, regular reading of the Word of God. As I collected material for this important lesson this morning, I ran across this quote. One fellow said, "People do not decide their futures. They decide their habits, and it's your habits that decide your future." Will you build into your life the habit of daily Bible reading that will build into your future a future with God? Let's pray about that. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we're awed by your word, by its power, its wisdom, its relevance, its truth. We're asking a blessing, Father, as we seek to see the world as you see it. And particularly, Father, we're asking a blessing that we will see the wise path you set for us in these books of wisdom. Right now, Father, we have strong resolve to build the habit of daily Bible reading. Help us to have the character essential to follow through. Help us to understand why we are doing this and to open our schedule up and to make the cuts necessary so there's room for you, spending time with you in your word. Forgive us when we fail, Father, and help us immediately to return again to the habit of reading the Scriptures. Bless us and bless our shepherds here as they lead us to know you by reading your word. In Christ we pray, and amen.